Don't you love that music? I feel like we should go picnic together right now by a creek or something. It's really good. We're glad you're here today. I'm Nick, and so glad that you are here today at church. And if you're brand new, would love to meet you. I'll be out right in the lobby over here right after the service. And I have a special guest here from my family. My favorite aunt, Aunt Linda, is in the house for the first time at Cross Church Fayetteville. Would you welcome my Aunt Linda? She's the best. Glad you are here. And we're glad all of you are here. We've got a few significant things ahead of us that really start tonight, as you heard Jorge talk about on the video. Growth Track is tonight. If you are new to the church and you've been wondering, man, how do I really like step into a level deeper? How do I join the church? How do I just hear more about the church? It's all through Growth Track. And I recognize when you go to a new church, you may think to yourself, well, golly, man, I don't want to sit in some weird new members thing with like five other people and a pastor in a dark, cold room, and it just sounds weird and awkward to me. It's not that, okay? Already for tonight here at Fayetteville, we have 94 people who are taking their next step at Growth Track. So I say all that to say, you're not gonna be alone. There's a lot of people gonna be jumping in tonight, and so would love to have you do that. You can register here today, just out at the welcome desk right there, and we can get you plugged in. Next Sunday, let me point your attention to that. We have held this off until right now here in this moment today, but we have a huge announcement we are making next week as a church. And when I say huge, I mean huge, okay? Huge announcement. I will be preaching all services next Sunday, if that tells you how big of a deal it is. We only do that really usually a few times a year. And so we just have some very exciting things to share with you that the Lord has done. And so you do not want to miss. Just trust me. I don't lie to you, okay? I don't lie to you. You will want to be here next Sunday. It's going to be a powerful time as we celebrate all that God's doing. And then at the end of the service, we are going to commission 31 college students on what we call C3 Send. You actually gave towards this back in November on Legacy Sunday, where we are sending 31 college students free of charge to Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world this summer on mission. So some of them will be right here in our own church, reaching Northwest Arkansas. Others we will send to other churches in America and the world, totally free of charge to that church, but paid for by us, which is an incredible thing. And so that will be how we conclude next Sunday, bringing all 31 of these college students up here and praying over them. So I'm just telling you, it's going to be a power-packed Sunday next week. You do not want to miss that. And then as you saw, Alex Hamaya is doing our men's conference. Men, I'm going to ask you on May 7th, give me one night for the year where you invest in your life spiritually. I hope it's more than that, but just give me one where you come together with the men of our church, and we just invest in our relationship together and with the Lord. And Alex will be preaching actually May 7th all day long here at Cross Church, so you'll hear him that morning, and then he'll come back that night and do the men's conference. So it's an incredible couple of weeks we got ahead of us. Don't miss it. And then Mother's Day, the day when you have to come to church because your mom makes you, okay? So that'll follow all that. Let's grab our Bibles. Esther chapter 4 is where we're going to be. We began a series last week. It's really just a short series that we're calling Life on Purpose. How do you live a life on purpose? And we are doing this out of the book of Esther and really just spending three quick weeks on this subject. And if you missed last week, we talked about how all of us are molded by the relationships that surround us. And in other words, your mama was right. Who you hang with matters. Good people influence you towards good. Bad people influence you towards bad. And all of us are molded by the people that we surrounded ourselves with. Today, we're going to journey in past the first three chapters into chapter 4. And the title of our message today is that you are matured for moments. You are in your life matured for moments. Whether you realize it or not, God has been preparing you for what he's prepared for you. Okay, your entire life, God will use the family you were raised in, the job you have, the places you've lived, like everything in your life up to this point, God has shaped you and he's molded you for specific moments. And maybe you are in that moment right now where maybe you feel like this in your career, or maybe you feel like this in your parenting or in your life as a college student, where you say, man, I feel, Nick, that my entire life has led up to this moment right here and right now. Some of you are in that mode right here today. Others of you may not be there, but all of us could look at stuff like this. We could look at the bad times in life. Anybody ever go through bad times? And you look through trials, and on the back end of that, we always will say to ourselves, okay, that was horrible while I was in it. but here's what God taught me. Now, that may be a year or two later that you're able to like rightly understand and discern all that the Lord did. But all of us learn from difficult times, and there are seasons in your life where you say things like this: had I not gone through that, there's no way that I would have ever been prepared for this. And so sometimes God prepares us for these big, life-changing moments like Esther has in this passage that we're about to read. And then other times, God prepares you for the mundane, for the small moments of life, for the continued moments of heartache that because God came through in this season of your life, you can trust him now in the next season of your life, okay? Now, one of the most interesting things about the book of Esther is this. You may have never heard this before, but the name of God is not mentioned one time in the book of Esther. Isn't that wild? Like, not one time is God mentioned in the book of Esther. Now, this doesn't mean that God is not present or that God is not moving. In fact, if we were to give this series title another name, we could call it God Behind the Scenes. That is what's going on in Esther. And in all reality, here's what you got to understand. That's what's going on in your own life. Have you ever had a season in your life? Let's do this by a show of hands. Have you ever had a season in your life where you feel like God was not present and you could not see him moving? Anybody in the room? Okay, that's most of us. It's really all of us if we participated in the hand raising, okay? But all of us walk through seasons where like, Lord, where are you? We're dying here. We're suffering here. Where are you? Why aren't you moving? And we have a sense that God has left us. In all reality, the book of Esther reminds us, and specifically Esther chapter 4 reminds us, God is working. He's moving, and there are times when he's working behind the scenes in ways that you cannot see. And Esther is a good reminder of that truth. Now, we've called this series Life on Purpose, and here's what I'd get started with today. If you ever want to be a man on purpose or a woman on purpose, a teenager on purpose, that means you're living your life on purpose for the sake of the kingdom of God, you got to recognize the big picture of your life, that God has used every single thing in my life for good. Like even the hard times, even the bad things, just like we sang about just a moment ago, God can take the bad things in life that we would never choose for ourselves, and yet God somehow in his grace and in his power and in his glory transforms them in a Romans 8:28 family recipe that God uses all things according to his purpose for our life. That's your promise as a believer. So there's purpose in what you're walking through right now, even in this moment. There's a reason for it. And some of it, like I said, is just the Lord making you more like himself. And that's a win. So if you're walking through something where that's it and that's the goal, then praise God for that. But there are also times where God matures you for even beyond that moments in your life. Now, if you missed last Sunday, let me catch you up on the first three chapters. I gave Luke the hard job last week of preaching on three chapters. I'm just going to preach on part of one, okay? The first three chapters, here's what happens so far in the story. Esther has just married King Ahasuerus. He's also named King Xerxes in this passage. King Xerxes had just gotten rid of his first wife, got mad at her, was tired of her, just got rid of her. And so what the book of Esther, the story really is you've got an ancient kingdom with a brutal king who treats his first wife like that, just discards her. And he looks for another wife, and Esther is chosen. We're also introduced to a wicked anti-Semitic man by the name of Haman. He is so driven by his hatred of the Jews that he convinces the king to basically demolish all of the Jewish population. So they set a date and they issued an edict that said, listen, on August 4th, the Jews in all the provinces, you are to kill all of them on that specific day. And so obviously it's a very burdensome thing. And chapter 3 concludes with that edict being issued in all the land where the king has power. By the way, if you look throughout history, the Jewish nation is always under attack. That is still true today. You may watch the news and you're like, man, why is that? It's a spiritual thing where God's people are constantly under attack. Different message, different sermon, but you'll see it displayed in this passage here today. Let's pick up in chapter 4, just right here in verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Now, let me remind you, if you missed last week, Mordecai is the cousin of Esther. He was responsible for raising Esther. You'll see later that she was an orphan. We don't really know much about her story, but Mordecai was really responsible for raising her. He is grieved by what has been going on. He's grieved by this edict that all the Jews are about to be slaughtered. And the Bible says that he tore his clothes and a satin and sackcloth and ashes. If you don't know what that means, it basically was a biblical sign of mourning and of grief. Let me give you a different picture of this, okay? This last week, Meredith and I were in Florida at a pastor's and pastor's wife conference. And because it was Florida, it was like in the 80s every day. It was beautiful weather. I got a terrible sunburn. It's a different sermon as well. But every morning we would go out right around sunrise and we'd walk along kind of this path next to the beach, and it kind of walked out towards a little point by the ocean. And so it was warm every morning besides one. So every morning, I'm in shorts and t-shirt. Meredith is in something similar. And so one morning we went out there and the wind was blowing and the weather had kind of changed for that day, probably Wednesday of last week. And so Meredith was in a tank top and shorts and I'm in a t-shirt and shorts. And I didn't want to go back up to the room. And so she was cold. I was like, well, I'll just give you my shirt. Thinking it's Florida, not going to know anybody here, right? And so it's early in the morning. So I take off my shirt, walk in bare-chested down. It's more like bare-chested down the thing. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to see anybody. Well, about that time, 5 or 10 minutes later, one of the other pastor's wives is also exercising. And I'm just thinking to myself, what in the world have I done here? And it's just an embarrassing thing. So I had stripped off my shirt, not that I was in mourning, okay? Something very different from what Mordecai is walking through here. It's a stretch to go through these two things right here. But Mordecai is in sackcloth and ashes, mourning what was about to happen to the Jews. This word spread all the way to the palace. And somebody came to Esther and was like, hey, your cousin Mordecai is like out in public, torn his clothes, sackcloth and ashes. What in the world is going on here? And so she sends her servant Hathach. By the way, ladies, if you're pregnant, looking for a boy name, it's a suggestion for you right there. She sends Hathach to go to Mordecai and say, listen, why are you grieving? Pick up the story in verse 6. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. Now pause there. Let me explain what's going on. You got to imagine ancient kingdom, ancient Bible times. Esther is holed up in the palace. There is no television. There is no Twitter or Instagram, no other social media, okay? And so she is completely unaware of what's going on here with this edict to kill all of the Jews. Mordecai wanted to ensure that Esther was aware of this. She hands he hands Hathach the edict. He's like, listen, you got to show this to Esther. She's got to go to the king. You see, what the king did not realize is that Esther also was a Jew. And so his very wife was also under a death sentence. Well, how does the story continue? Look at verse 10. It says, then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. Now pause there, okay? So Mordecai sends the edict back to Esther. Esther sends this message back to Mordecai through Hathach. Hathach is just back and forth between the two right here. And you got a picture here, an ancient dysfunctional marriage to a king. Okay, this is not normal. Normal marriages, people hang out together, they have dinner together, but it's most likely here that the king had other women involved in his life, and so he had not called on his new wife or to even hang out with her or to see her for 1 month. Everybody say dysfunctional. Okay, this is just like a crazy situation that Esther finds herself in, okay? She had not seen the king, and she explains back through the servant to Mordecai, you know the law, I know the law, that if anybody goes into the inner court of the king without being invited, it's a death sentence, like you can die. And the only way you don't die is if the king holds out his golden scepter. Now, can you say power hungry, by the way? I mean, this is, again, you see the dysfunctional nature of this king. He's discarded his first wife. Then he issues an edict to kill all the Jews across the lands that he has power in. And now third, he's got this power trip of anybody who comes to see me, who I haven't called to come see me, you gonna die. All right, everybody agree this guy's a little weird and a little off. Okay, a lot weird right here. And the next passage is the key passage in the entire chapter. So if you don't get anything else, you need to get this right here. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. So he sends a message back to Esther. Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace, you will escape any more than all the other Jews. So it's kind of been like friendly cousin talk until this point. Esther, are you aware of this? No, I'm not aware of this, but you know the rules. If I go in, I could die. And then Mordecai like kind of goes prophet on her and just speaks very directly. If this thing goes through, you're also going to die, Esther. Don't think just because you're the queen, just because you live in the palace, that it's not going to also affect you. You will die just like every one of us who are also Jews. And we're about to see two things in this passage. If you're a note taker, I would encourage you to write these two things down. Number one is this. We're about to see Mordecai's deep faith in the Lord. His deep faith in God. Here's the first part of verse 14 explains this. He tells Esther, he says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Relief and deliverance will come from somewhere, but you and all your house, you are going to die. He said, explain his deep faith in God. This man is convinced of God's deep care and protection over his people. That's what he's convinced about. It's as if he's saying this to Esther. Hey, it's your choice. It's your choice, Esther. God's going to take care of us, okay? Some way, somehow, deliverance is going to come for God's people. So even though a lot of us are about to die, God's not going to allow the whole population to be wiped out. So in other words, God's going to keep a remnant. And that can either happen through you, Esther, or God will do it through someone else. But he has put you in a position to do something about it. And deep faith in God, right? He's convinced that God will take care of his people. Maybe there's some things we can learn personally from Mordecai right here. Can we turn this personal for a second? I want to ask you a question. And only you will know the answer to this question. This question affects every single thing in your life. It affects how you view your life, how you view the world, how you view your career, your life as a college student, junior high student, high school student. This is the filter through which all of your life is viewed, okay? Here's the question for you. Are you convinced of God's care for you as one of his children? Are you convinced of God's care for you in your life as one of his children? You see, for Mordecai, it was a settled fact. God will do it. It's just a matter of how. Like God's going to take care of his people. It's just a matter of where and how it's going to come. It's a settled fact in his mind. Can I just make it, you know, personal to you? Is it a settled fact in your mind that God's going to take care of you? Like right now with what you're walking through, is it a settled fact that God knows where you're at, sees where you're at, and will take care of you no matter what happens in your life? Are you deeply convinced of the love and of the care for God for your life right now? Nobody can convince you of that. It's just you. Do you trust that God has you in mind and that he is deeply concerned and cares for you in all matters of your life, okay? So we see his deep faith in God. Here's the second thing we see from Mordecai, okay? We see his direct challenge to Esther. Again, he kind of goes prophet on his cousin right here, and he's going to speak very directly to her. And here's what he says at the second half of verse 14. He says, and who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows if you've not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? If you've ever heard that phrase, for such a time as this, and you've never realized the origin, it's right here in the life of Esther, right here in the Bible. Okay? Everybody look up here for a second. Let me illustrate what do you think Mordecai's doing. It's as if he is communicating to Esther through the servant, and he's saying, listen, God is going to take care of his people. But maybe God's placed you here for that purpose. See what he's doing? Like, I'm convinced, it's a settled fact in my mind, that God is going to care for his people. Like, some way, somehow, deliverance is going to come for the people of God. But Esther, maybe you are the reason, and you are the avenue for how this deliverance is going to come about. Now, knowing what we know about the sovereign nature of God, we've sung about that today already. Knowing what we know about how God controls all things in life, here's what we can say. We agree with Mordecai. Who knows if God has placed Esther in this position for such a time as this? Well, all of us with biblical knowledge can say, we all know that God has placed Esther in a specific place for this specific moment in time. In other words, God had directed every single step of Esther's life to this moment right here. So for Esther, it was everything God had done in her life to bring her to a massive moment in her life. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe you've got a move you're thinking about for your family to a different part of the country. Maybe it's a new step in your career. Maybe it's something in your parenting of your children where you're like, man, everything has led up to this moment right here, right now. Maybe that's not you, but you just know, man, I know that God's moving in my life. I know that he is working behind the scenes in a specific way to really make me more like the Lord Jesus. Let me put it in Esther language, okay? Here's what God had done for her. God had matured Esther through every season of her life for this exact moment. God had matured Esther through every situation, every season of her life, every moment of her life, all bringing her to this moment right here. God had determined everything in her life. You say, well, Nick, what did God determine? Now, here's a list of things that I'm going to walk through, okay? God determined every single aspect of her life, but let's go specifically on a few things, because here's what you got to understand. I think to really get the big picture of the message of God from Esther is you really got to see the big picture of Esther. You got to see even beyond the story of Esther that we know in the Bible, but to think about her entire life guided by an omnipotent hand, okay? So look at all the things that God directed in her life. Number one, God directed her gender. He determined that she would be a woman, which made her a candidate to be a queen. You may downplay that and say, well, Nick, that doesn't really matter. No, God could have made Esther a man, which would have changed everything, right? Which would have not placed her in this position. But think about it, from the very beginning, from literal conception to growth in the womb to being born, God was determining the steps of this woman to rescue his people. Again, in order to understand the big picture, her entire life, what was God determining in her life? Number one, her gender. What about number two, her race? God determined her race. This is one of the biggest evidences in the book of Esther related to God's direction and provision through her life. God determined her ethnicity, raised her up to the position of queen so that she could save her own people. She was a Jew who was about to save all of the other Jews, okay? God determined her race. Third, God determined her family. He determined her family. Like I mentioned earlier in the message, Esther appears to be an orphan for whatever reason. We don't know the backstory there. But the book tells us that she was raised by Mordecai in his home. And Mordecai is the one who hears the edict, is so deeply grieved, he publicly mourns, gets the message to Esther. Esther now is in a position before the king as he pushes her to action. Here's the fourth thing that God determined. A million other examples we know nothing about. All right, isn't that true? So there's some things that we can determine from the book of Esther. God made her a woman. God made her a Jew. God had her be born into a certain family that evidently died, and yet her cousin was the one who raised her. And then beyond all that, again, Esther only tells us so much of the story of her life. And by the way, that's the same with every book of the Bible. It only tells us so much of the story. And yet, might I remind you, if you're ever a person who's like, man, I just don't understand. Why did God not address blank in the Bible? Why did God not answer this deep question about whatever in the Bible? Well, God gave us what he wanted to give us in the Bible. Okay, so you can be fully confident that everything you need for life and godliness is found in the book of the Word of God. Okay? And yet, here in the life of Esther, we know that there are things beyond even what the Bible tells us that God used in her life to bring her to this exact moment. And here's what I would tell you, okay? Your life is exactly the same way. God has determined all those things. God determined your gender, your race, your family, and a million other things. And so honestly, this should give you some comfort in the room today, because maybe you sit in the chair you sit in today and you say, Nick, I wish that I was not the gender that I was born with. Well, God made you to be the gender that you are, whatever you are. You may say, Nick, I wish I was a different race. Well, God made you specific race you are for a specific reason, okay? You may say, Nick, I really wish I was not raised in my family, okay? You know, maybe the people that were supposed to be there for you growing up, they abandoned you. Or maybe you look and you hear me say the word dysfunctional about King Ahasuerus, and you're like, actually describes my family. We put the fun in dysfunction, okay? And you think to yourself, I just wish I was from someplace else, whether you came from a healthy family or an unhealthy family growing up, and you think, I wish I came from somewhere else. Listen, God placed you in the family he placed you in for a specific purpose. And anything that I've left out, God has used a million other examples to form you and to shape you and to mature you for moments in your life where God wants you to rise up and be used for his kingdom in some way. As I said earlier, God is working behind the scenes. He's working behind the curtain. And here's the hard thing. Sometimes you don't even realize that he's doing that. And usually when we're walking through difficult seasons where God seems shrouded, he seems hidden, our first response is, well, God, where in the world are you? You ever been there? Lord, I don't feel you. I don't see you. I don't sense you. Where are you? We're dying down here. We're suffering down here. Lord, where are you? And the book of Esther is a great reminder that God is working. He's moving. And the funny thing about, I think this is safe to assume. I don't think I'm out of bounds here. I think it's safe to assume that Esther had no idea all the ways that God was forming her throughout her life for this moment. So God was forming her into godliness. God was forming her into a leader where it would come to a breaking point. And this is the breaking point right here in this passage. So here's a question for you. Again, this is one that only you can answer for your life. Here's what it is. Will you trust the Lord? Like, will you trust the Lord that he really is working in your life through all the stuff? Okay. Let's close out with this passage. Look at verse 15 and 16. It says, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. And then we get to one of the most powerful phrases you will literally read anywhere in the Bible. She says, then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Pretty powerful words, are they not? She says, Mordecai, you need to call everybody to pray. And we'll do the same here in the palace, me and my maidservants. We will fast and pray as well. And she just gets to a settled moment in her heart. If this costs me my life, it costs me my life. If I die, I die. Sounds a little bit like Rocky IV, by the way. But if this is the moment and it costs me everything, I am prepared for that moment. You say, well, Nick, how does a woman get to that point? How does a man get to that point where we're so committed to the cause, so sold out to playing her role within the kingdom that she says, listen, if this costs me my life, if I perish, so be it. how does somebody get to that moment? I would tell you it's way beyond this moment, but it's a million moments that God had done in her life to bring her to this point. And your life is similar, by the way. Maybe you look at other people who take a bold stand, or maybe they lead in a great way, and you're thinking, how does she do that? How does he do that? Well, it's one long process of being formed and shaped and matured by the Lord. God had matured Esther for this moment, and God will mature you for these moments. I wonder who here today is facing a situation much like Esther. Well, hopefully very different from Esther, but in a similar vein. Hopefully nobody's about to lose their life in here. Like, if I make this decision, if I perish, I perish. Okay, hopefully that's not your story. But maybe you do find yourself in a situation that's over your head, or you are ill-equipped to handle. Usually it happens in family situations, like your kid's going through something, your grandchild's going through something, like, man, this is above my pay grade. I don't know what to do. Maybe you're a college student and it's an issue with anxiety and depression, and you think to yourself, I do not know. I don't know how I'm going to move forward. I don't know. It took everything I had to get to church today. I don't know how I'm going to get out of bed to go to class tomorrow. Maybe something in your career where it seems like everything that you've worked for is about to come crashing down. The business is struggling, or maybe it's uncertain, and so much of what we battle with in life is this thing called uncertainty. By the way, you know that's what Esther's facing here? Uncertainty. It's all that little word, if. All of us in life have the ifs of life. Well, if this doesn't help my child, what's the next step? If this doesn't happen, how am I going to move? If this doesn't happen in my career, what am I? If. Can I just tell you, I think sometimes God gives us some ifs on a silver platter. And he brings us through seasons or moments of uncertainty. Anybody uncertain today? And he brings us to moments of uncertainty to ultimately bring us back to moments of dependence upon the Lord. So if you are uncertain about something in your life right now, if you face a, you know, within the ballpark situation like Esther, man, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know what to do next. I'm not sure what the answer is. Well, you know what God's doing here? If you're facing uncertainty, which I would assume maybe every one of us in the room, we'll exclude like the super, super, super godly people who have it all figured out. But for everybody else facing uncertainty in your life in some way, here's what the Lord is doing. The Lord's saying, come on, draw close again. Bring me your ifs. Bring you your concerns and your uncertainties. And it's just a moment to lean back into dependence with the Lord. So will you do that today? Just lean back in. Let me say one more thing about the life of Esther. So I think it really is your life as well. Not only did God mature Esther for this moment, but he also gave her what she needed in the moment. Hers was a massive moment that God had led all of her life up to this strategic moment. And in the moment, God did not abandon her. Maybe you find yourself at a similar moment of like, man, I've got to have the Lord right here, right now, in this moment, in the uncertainty, in the decision-making. I've got to have the mind of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God right here. Let's put this in words related to your own life, okay? Not only has God matured you for this moment, but he will also give you what you need in the moment. Sometimes we get consumed about the future of, is God going to move there? When I think really the story of Esther tells us it's a different question. Not, Lord, are you going to meet me in the future? But Lord, would you just meet me right here in the present? And will you just carry me in the present? Will you give me what I need in the moment? Like right now in the moment. Not 6 days from now. Not 3 months from now at the business meeting. Not 2 months from now when we got to make a decision on our kid. Like whatever it is. Like not then, but now. Just lean into dependence. And you may not know a lot of things in your life. And usually that's how uncertainty is. I'm not certain about things and how it's going to turn out. But here's what I would tell you. If you are at a major place of uncertainty, the best news is this. While all of your life can be uncertain, you can be certain that God cares for his children and will meet you in the moment. Some of you are here today, and the main reason God brought you to church is just to lean back into dependence. You started doing it in your own strength and your own power, and you're quickly realizing that doesn't work for very long. Would you just lean back into the dependent life today? Just lean back into, Lord, I need you in this moment. I need your wisdom. I need your presence in my life. What you did for Esther to give her the strength to say that kind of thing, I need the strength to say what I'm going to have to say. So in just a moment, I'm going to invite Christians all over this room to just come back to a place of dependence with the Lord. Whatever that means, whatever that looks like for you. But we're going to open up. We're going to sing just part of one final song, and we're going to open up this altar for you to come and just kneel. And some of you just need to come to the altar and just say, Lord, I just am coming back to you. I'm just coming to a place of dependence. And would you meet me here today? I'm not worried about the future. I'm just worried about the moment. God, would you just meet me here where I am today? In just a moment, our staff's going to make their way up here. And if you need somebody to pray over you, man, we'd be honored to pray over you. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, and you come to church most weeks, and most weeks right here, right now in the sermon. You're like, oh gosh, just get done with the service, close it out. And you know that God is calling you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. In fact, this was the baptism testimony of the person at the 8 o'clock service coming to church. And every time during this part of the service, uncomfortable, knew he needed to give his life to Christ. Easter Sunday, gave his life to Christ and baptized today. Maybe you're like that guy. Come in here every single week and you know you need to be saved. Today, let's do it. Today, come meet one of our staff right up here. Give your life to Christ, okay? Let's bow together all over this room. Our staff's going to make their way up here. And if you need prayer over something in your life, they're here for you. If you just want to pray by yourself, you can just kneel at the altar. If you need Christ, I'm going to invite you to come. All you got to do is just tell that person, tell the man or woman, just say, hey, I need to give my life to Christ. And one of our staff members, they will lead you to faith in Jesus today. Okay? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to respond to the Lord. Whatever God's telling you to do, would you just respond in obedience right now? Lord, we trust in you to do some things that only you can do. We believe salvation is a work of the Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you draw? We believe that any work of sanctification is a work of you moving in us. So Lord, would you do that right now in our hearts? Draw us back to a point of dependence. It's in Christ's name that we pray.